I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Over to Thompson. Fires away. It hits a three. Klay Thompson. That ball barely even stayed on his fingertips. It's a 20-point lead for the Dubs now with 3:05 to go, 105-85. Thompson now with 28 on an incredibly efficient 11 of 19 shooting.
It's time for Warriors Wrap-Up. We'll bring you into the locker room and hear from Coach Kerr and the players. Highlights from the game, Warriors Wrap-Up starts now.
Yes, it does. Welcoming a nice win for the Warriors, 113-92 over the Miami Heat on the road in South Beach. It was a game the Warriors probably, we could say, should win considering all the injuries that the Heat had, playing without a handful of their best players. Jimmy Butler did not play. Tyler Hero did not play. Those two are their leading scorers, both over 20 points per game. Duncan Robinson and Kevin Love also did not play, but the Warriors handled business despite trailing at halftime. They buckled down defensively in the second half. They hold Miami to just 37 second half points. Miami shoots 29% from the field in the second half, and the Warriors win this basketball game 113-92 in Miami. The Warriors now 1-1 on this road trip, and they get a much-needed win. They had to have this one, no doubt about it. They had to have this one. They got it done. Behind Klay Thompson, who was awesome in this game, 28 points for Klay, 18 from Jonathan Kuminga, 17 from both Andrew Wiggins and Steph Curry, a balanced offensive effort led by Klay's 28. He was awesome, 11 for 20 from the field, but a nice bounce back win for the Golden State Warriors tonight. Welcome into Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Randy with you, 888-957-9570. This is the number to call if you want to join the program today here on 95.7 The Game. It's also the Comcast Business text line. I'll keep an eye on that text line throughout the night here on Warriors Wrap-Up. And I've got our YouTube chat open as always, youtube.com/957TheGame. Everything we do on Twitch and YouTube is powered by First NorCal Credit Union. The other thing that we are keeping an eye on, and this will not be the last update of the night, the Lakers are currently in double overtime in Milwaukee. It's 117-117, 2 minutes to go in overtime. And in fact, Damian Lillard just with a steal and a fast break dunk. So the Milwaukee Bucks lead the Lakers by two, under 2 minutes to go in double OT. We will keep you updated on that game. And that is important because as we look at the standings in the Western Conference, at the moment, the Warriors are two games behind the Lakers for the nine. If the Bucks hold on and beat the Lakers, that lead would shrink down to a game and a half but we will keep you updated. Now under about a minute and a half to go in double overtime in Milwaukee. The Lakers have since tied it up. But focusing on this Warrior game here, the Warriors getting much needed a win. They improved to 37-34. Now 1-1 on this five-game road trip, and this was one you felt like they had to have, considering who was out and not playing for the Miami Heat. And it was a little bit of a sleepy start for the Warriors, despite the fact that they shot the ball very, very well, really all game long. I mean, they shot 61% from the field in the first half, but they were in the first quarter, but they were down after the first quarter. They trailed by two at the end of the first quarter, despite shooting 61% from the field. And it was a similar story for the whole first half. The Warriors shot 56% from the field in the first half, and they were down by two. And it was despite the fact that the Heat weren't really blowing the doors off you on the other end. The Warriors played pretty good defense for the majority of this game, specifically in the second half. But it was kind of difficult to explain how the Warriors were trailing at halftime despite shooting a good percentage. There wasn't a ton of turnovers in this game. As a team, the Warriors only committed 12 total turnovers, and some of them did come in the first quarter. In fact, a little bit more than you would expect came in that first quarter. I think they had 5 turnovers in the first quarter alone, did the Warriors. 5 turnovers turned into 6 Miami points in that first quarter. But generally speaking, the Warriors took care of the ball throughout, yet you were trailing by 2 despite shooting better than 50% from the field. It was kind of a haphazard first half, other than Andrew Wiggins getting going. Klay Thompson made some shots in the first half, and then he really got going in the second half, and he was the Warriors' offense for the majority of that second half. But you got a handful of really nice performances up and down your roster, and it was a nice team win after so much of the conversation the last couple of days around this Warriors team had been about Stephen Curry's minutes and the unfair burden that this organization has been placing on Steph Curry's shoulders. And we do have to talk about Steph Curry's minutes tonight. I thought something kind of strange happened at the end of the game. We can get into that in a little bit here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. But after that conversation, if you missed what happened on Sunday, Steve Kerr wanted to keep Steph Curry's minutes around 30-ish minutes. He played 29 minutes and 51 seconds on Sunday. Wanted to keep him around 30 because they've been riding him, giving him heavy minutes a lot lately. And I would imagine the writing on the wall is he hasn't responded well to that. The advanced analytics show after a certain number of minutes or after a certain number of minutes over the course of a five-game stretch or whatever numbers they have, that his shooting numbers go down, whatever the situation is. I would imagine they have some statistical basis for it. They found that after X amount of minutes over X amount of days, you know, his performance isn't as good. So as a result, they want to keep his minutes down. Great. You know, you want to keep him fresh, I understand. But if you're going to do that, you're going to need others to step up around the roster. That did not happen on Sunday. To the Warriors' benefit, it happened today. You got contributions everywhere. 28 points for Klay Thompson, 11 of 20 from the field. He was 6 for 14 from downtown. Not the best efficiency there, but he did hoist a couple down the stretch when the game was already decided. Jonathan Kuminga had a really nice bounce-back game after a couple of rough performances from the field for him the last two times out. He had 18 points to go with 7 rebounds, also 3 assists. I really think that Jonathan Kuminga's development offensively, you see it with how he's passing the ball a little bit lately. 3 assists, not a number that's going to blow you away by any stretch, but a nice performance for Jonathan Kuminga as well. Again, 18.7 rebounds, 3 assists. And Andrew Wiggins had one of his better games recently as well. 17 points. He was 7 for 12 from the field. He was aggressive out of each half, specifically to begin the third quarter. Also had 7 rebounds, so shout out to Dibs. If you were listening to Warriors Live before the game, Dibs took Andrew Wiggins over 4.5 rebounds today. And I guess if I'm giving Dibs shout-outs, I should give Daryl the Guru Johnson a shout-out as well, because it was Dibs that was following Goo's pick. So the over 4.5 rebounds for Andrew Wiggins cashes. He was active throughout the game. He scored 8 points out of the third quarter break, out of the halftime break, in the first 3 minutes of that third quarter. So Andrew Wiggins was aggressive. He kind of got the Warriors offense rolling to begin the second half. Then Kuminga had a couple of nice buckets. He had a couple of really crazy dunks, including one putback dunk off a Klay Thompson missed three from the corner where the ball bounced like straight up into the air, and Kuminga trying to like navigate his way around someone trying to box him out and also not hit the side of the backboard as he leaps above the rim, kind of did like a volleyball spike just over the net and spiked it right down into the net. It was a really nice moment for Kuminga. So he got going. He got 17 points from Stephen Curry. He did not need to carry a super heavy load offensively in this game. So while he did play more minutes tonight than he did on Sunday, 31 minutes and 1 second, I don't think it was as heavy of a minute total. It wasn't the kind of minutes that take it out of you as maybe Sunday was, when Steph was asked to do a lot more of the heavy lifting. Didn't get a ton from your bench today, but when you get 28, 18, 17, and 17 from four of your five starters, you'll take it, and you don't need a ton elsewhere, especially when your defense plays the way that they did. Miami shoots 40% from the field, and in the second half, they shot just 28.9% from the field. The defense was the star in this one, and the offense was along for the ride, namely Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga, and Steph Curry, and that's more than enough to beat a Miami Heat team who's got a decent record now, 39-33 with the loss, but again, playing without a number of really important players, including their two highest scorers on the season, Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero. They combine for about 42 points per game this season. Duncan Robinson, also in double figures, did not play, and Kevin Love, just under double figures on average, did not play either. So this isn't a win where we're going to overreact and suddenly feel like this Warriors season has turned around, but a nice win. One you had to have. You got it done. Good work. And you didn't have to overexert yourself getting this win, and maybe you set yourself up a little bit better. You have a little bit of a better chance to beat the Orlando Magic in Orlando tomorrow to wrap up a back-to-back. But ultimately, a nice win for the Warriors, but it's not something that we are going to, at least I would recommend, let's not get too excited about this one win. Let's not overreact to this one win. I think that's an issue. That's something we've gotten into trouble with a little bit this season, and we overreact to a win, and we overreact to a loss. This was a win you had to have. You got the job done. All right, job well done. Let's move on to the next one if you're the Golden State Warriors. 888-957-9570. That's the number to call. It's also the Comcast Business text line. And I got my eyes on the YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union. 888-957-9570 on the YouTube chat. Let's see. Yeah, we got people talking about the Laker game. I do have an update for you. Austin Reeves has hit a go-ahead three in the final minute of the second overtime. So the Lakers are up three. Giannis got fouled, and he missed both free throws. So the ball back in the hands of the Lakers, and the Bucks are in the process of fouling right now. They'll send, I think, D'Angelo Russell to the free throw line. So I'll let you know about that one. On the Comcast Business text line, 888-957-9570. The 510 says, great to see Looney getting some meaningful minutes. Nice impact defensively and always a solid rebounder. Give him some more playing time. There was a couple of rotation changes for the Warriors tonight. Looney was one of them, but perhaps most notably was Klay Thompson back into the starting lineup. It was not Brandon Pajemski starting for the Warriors tonight. It was Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga, and Draymond Green. So the Warriors get a little bit more size from their guards with Klay instead of Pajemski, and it worked out. Again, 28 points for Klay. He was really good in this game, specifically shooting the basketball. And then Kevon Looney, without Trayce Jackson-Davis available tonight, Kevon Looney was the Warriors' first and really only big off the bench, unless you want to consider Gary Payton II a big. Not necessarily big in stature, but big in the way that he plays. Looney played 18 minutes and 43 seconds tonight, had 7 points, had 6 rebounds, hit a nice mid-range jumper from the free throw line. Ultimately, Kevon Looney was good in his performance tonight. Maybe we see Steve Kerr try to get him back into the rotation just a little bit. However, I'm not so sure that future games are going to be Kevon Looney's kind of game. Like, this game against Miami was more Kevon Looney's speed. It was slower paced. It was a defensive slugfest for the vast majority of this basketball game. But I do agree with you, 5-1-0. It was nice to see Kevon Looney back out there again and playing well. I'm sure he enjoyed it. But, for example, you take on the Orlando Magic tomorrow, I don't think that's a game for Kevon Looney. You've got some quick, athletic, fast, long bigs that can shoot, that can dribble. Banchero for the Magic is a ton of fun. The Wagners as well. Jonathan Isaac. Like, you've got some bigs that give Kevon Looney trouble. So unless Trayce Jackson-Davis is also unavailable tomorrow and he was dealing with some knee soreness, unless Trayce Jackson-Davis is unavailable tomorrow, I would not expect Kevon Looney to play against the Orlando Magic. But maybe if there is a matchup that benefits Kevon Looney moving forward, maybe tonight's performance by Looney is enough to give Steve Kerr the confidence that he can go back to the veteran big man for a spell off the bench. Because you're right, 5-1-0, it was nice to see Kevon Looney back out there. But the more, I don't know if surprising is the right word, but the more potentially impactful change in the Warriors' rotation was Klay Thompson starting. And we're going to hear from Steve Kerr coming up here in just a little bit. I'm sure Steve Kerr addressed Klay Thompson starting. If not, we will find it for you. But maybe this is something that the Warriors go with into the future. I've always thought that the Steph Curry, Brandon Pajemski duo together, and sometimes you get a three-man group when Klay comes off the bench and those two are still in there, or Chris Paul comes off the bench and those two are still in there, it's going to be really difficult defensively. Maybe it makes you better offensively, and for the most part, the Warriors' offense has not been their issue this season. It has been the defense, and when you got those three guards, and two of them are Steph Curry and Brandon Pajemski, it's going to be a little bit rough defensively. So the Steph Curry and Klay Thompson duo, kind of your normal duo, your dynastic duo, while Klay is not nearly the defender that he once was, it does give you a little bit more size, and I think you probably are a little bit better defensively. Now, you also pair that with Andrew Wiggins, who seemed to be a little bit more active and involved today. Jonathan Kuminga had himself a better day, and it does seem like Kuminga, when he's having a better day offensively, it positively impacts and influences his impact on the defensive end, and that was certainly the case today. And then you got Draymond Green, who, as we know, is one of the better defenders this league has ever seen. And suddenly that turns into, when you got all those things working in the same direction, it turns into a much better defensive group. And tonight certainly was that. Miami Heat only scored 92 points in this game. They shoot 40% from the field. They score 37 points in the second half, and they shoot just 29% from the field in that second half. So a good defensive day for the Warriors. But again, we say all that with a big grain of salt because the Heat were without Jimmy Butler, they were without Tyler Hero, they were without Duncan Robinson, and they were without Kevin Love tonight. But this was a Warriors-Heat matchup earlier this year in San Francisco where the Heat were without Jimmy Butler, the Heat were without Kyle Lowry, who was a member of the Heat at that time, and a couple of others, and you lost at home. And that was the Jamal Kane coming out party. You might say, well, who the hell is Jamal Kane? That's exactly the point. It's a guy you probably haven't really heard of, and he torched you for like 18 points, and he helped the Heat win that game without a couple of their best players on your home floor earlier. So just because the Heat were without a handful of their best players does not mean that this was going to be an easy win for the Warriors. They got the job done. They earned a win. Now it's on to Orlando. See if you can turn this into a nice road trip with a win tomorrow. You feel like you've got a couple of winnable games at the end of the trip with Charlotte and San Antonio after Orlando tomorrow. If you manage to beat Orlando, you could turn this into a 4-1 road trip, and I know I'm probably getting a little bit ahead of myself, but as you do look to see if the Warriors can make any sort of noise in their final handful of games, you're running out of time, so you got to get going now. And if you have any desire at being the 9 seed in the Western Conference, you're going to need to stack wins because we have a final in Milwaukee. The Bucks cannot close out the Lakers. They lose to the Lakers on their home floor in double overtime. The Lakers beat the Bucks in Milwaukee. Final score 128-124. What that means is the Warriors, despite their win today, they stay 2.5 behind the Los Angeles Lakers for 9th in the Western Conference. The Warriors, it seems, are safely going to finish behind the Lakers. Still time, but 2.5 back. And the Warriors now only have 11 games left. We will see. We will see. But that's a huge, huge Lakers win in Milwaukee in double overtime. It was a regulation comeback for the Lakers to even force OT in the first place. And they win in Milwaukee without LeBron James. By the way, the Lakers without LeBron James in that one. They beat the Bucks in Milwaukee. The Warriors stay 2.5 behind the Lakers. But the win today for the Lakers, or pardon me, for the Warriors, now pushes the Warriors a full game ahead of the Houston Rockets for the 10 seed. Both teams are in action tomorrow. The Warriors in Orlando and the Rockets against the Oklahoma City Thunder on the road in OKC. All right, Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you. 888-957-9570. The Warriors beat the Heat today, 113-92. We got to talk about Steph Curry's minutes. It was relatively similar in terms of the plan for Stephen Curry as on Sunday, but with one important and kind of head-scratching change. I'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. I think the main takeaway today is Klay Thompson, and is he a mainstay in the starting lineup moving forward for the Golden State Warriors, or does Steve Kerr like the Chris Paul-Klay Thompson combo too much? Was the change in the starting lineup any kind of result of not having Trayce Jackson-Davis available off the bench? Did you want to make sure you got off to a better offensive start? I'm not exactly sure, but Klay Thompson started and played really well. However, I will just warn you, it's kind of similar to the Warriors season as a whole. We love Klay Thompson when he's hitting these shots, but if he pulls out a game where he goes 3-for-14 from the field, are we going to want him to start again? It's an extreme version, an extreme case of what have you done for me lately, and lately being tonight, Klay Thompson looked great. But we also got to remember how long it took Klay Thompson to emotionally accept and adjust his bench role. And do we want to just put him right back into the starting lineup and mess with his emotions even more? I'm not sure. That's a question that Steve Kerr is going to have to grapple with. Maybe he's already made his decision, and maybe we'll see Klay Thompson start again tomorrow. But there's no doubt about it. It worked today. You got the good Klay. He was making his shots. But what happens when Klay Thompson misses his shots? Because invariably, it's going to happen. I don't care how good of a shooter you are. I don't care how good of a shooting stretch you're on. You're going to have some games where your shot simply doesn't fall. And are we going to react big again when that happens and want Klay to move back to the bench? So I'm not sure what the best decision is for Steve Kerr and the Warriors in relation to that. Speaking of Steve Kerr, though, let's hear from Steve Kerr after the Warriors win in Miami today. They knock off the Heat 113-92. The Warriors get a much-needed win. They're now 3 games over .500 at 37-34. They stay, though, 2.5 games behind the Lakers for 9th in the Western Conference, but with the win, they are now a full game ahead of the Rockets for 10th in the Western Conference. Both those teams, the Warriors and the Rockets, are in action on the road tomorrow. All right, here's Warriors head coach Steve Kerr after tonight's win in Miami. Here's Coach Kerr.
What sparked the decision to start Klay, and what do you feel like his presence opened up?
Just felt like he had a little more spacing on the floor to start the game. And it doesn't necessarily mean, it's permanent. It just felt like tonight that was important.
And what stood out to you, obviously, from the second half, just able to just turn it up and outscore in those final two periods?
Much better level of competitiveness in the second half. I thought they outcompeted us in the first half, and they were making it difficult for us to get the ball across half court. They were playing really, really hard, and we didn't match that. In the second half, I thought we flipped that around. I thought Wiggs' defense on Terry Rozier the second half was one of the keys to the game. I thought J.K. Really did a great job competing, coming up with some rebounds and loose balls, and great to have Loon back in the lineup. Loon represents a lot of what we're about, you know, just the professionalism and staying ready. And we've missed having him out on the floor. And it's great to see Loon step in and play well and help us get a win.
How good was Draymond on Bam?
Draymond was great. I mean, Bam hit so many tough shots tonight. You know, all you can really hope for is to keep him, you know, away from the hoop. And he made, I don't know, it felt like 7 or 8 turnaround fadeaway jumpers. But Draymond made him work for everything that he got. And, you know, I thought that was really key. And, you know, we didn't have to double, so we were able to guard the three-point line pretty well. And Draymond's always, you know, a key to our defense, but especially so tonight.
Coach, you held the Heat to, I believe, 37 points in the second half. You mentioned the second half competitiveness being much better. But what do you think was the key other than just, was it just guys, like, guarding their yard better? Or what led to that?
Like I said, I think Wiggins set the tone with his defense on Rozier. And better ball pressure, but also better job of staying in front and not allowing as much penetration as we did in the first half.
Steve, obviously the record's better on the road than it is at home. What do you think it's been worth to you guys over the years? What do you think it's been worth to you over the years that when you come into an opposing arena, there's often a lot of fans for you guys here? I mean, right. You're one of the few people that... You're one of the few teams that gets loud cheers right. In this building. What's that like, the collective of that been like for you guys over the years?
Yes, it's great. I mean, you know, you walk into any arena in the league on the road and there's automatically, you know, just blue and yellow jerseys all over the place. You know, Steph's got so many fans across the country and a lot of people cheer for him no matter where we are. And, you know, so that part is nice. It's it didn't work last year, so it's working again this year. I don't know why.
You mentioned their pressure, their ball pressure, giving you guys some issues in the first half. They play a bunch of different variations of defense. It's all on tape. Did that full court pressure catch you guys by surprise, I guess? And how different is preparing for this team versus other teams?
Yeah, I mean, we expected it because that's what they do. They, you know, they play a lot of zone. I don't know where their numbers are this year, but historically they're one of the most zone-heavy teams in the league. And, you know, especially when they're shorthanded, I know Spo well. He's challenging those guys to pick up full, to get into the, you know, into the ball, full court pressure. They got an 8-second violation on us in the first half, a couple steals. And I thought that kept them in the game. And I just felt like we matched it much better in the second half. We were more aggressive attacking the press.
Another one of Miami's defense, just what's the challenge of going into a game and preparing for Bam defensively? Like, what's unique about him?
Well, he's unique in that he can push the ball in transition. He's the fulcrum of their offense. You know, they give him the ball and they start running their off-ball actions, dribble handoffs, but he can also be the lob guy, set the high screen and dive. And as you saw tonight, he can make that mid-range shot with ease. So he's a great player.
All right, that's Steve Kerr post-game in Miami tonight after the Warriors beat the Heat 113-92. A couple of the highlights from Steve Kerr right off the jump. If you missed it, I'll summarize for you. Steve Kerr was asked why he decided to start Klay Thompson tonight in place of Brandon Podziemski. He said, we wanted more spacing to start the game. He would later add, quote, it doesn't mean it's permanent, but we felt that was what was needed for this game. So it was certainly matchup-based. But the fact that he said he did not say it was just simply a one-game thing or we'll go back to Podziemski tomorrow night makes me feel like maybe this is at least, in the short term, something that Steve Kerr is going to stick with. He used a very similar line when he was asked in the future, or pardon me, in the past, about Andrew Wiggins moving to the bench. I don't remember exactly what moment this was. I think it might have been in February or maybe in January when Wiggins did not start for a handful of games. It was when he was struggling, obviously, and it was when Klay Thompson still was starting. I think it was also when Podziemski was starting. The Warriors started a 3-guard lineup, and they took Andrew Wiggins out of the rotation. out of the starting lineup at least. And he said, quote, doesn't mean it's permanent, but we're going to give it a real try. So not quite the exact same word for word line from Steve Kerr tonight. But that the way he answered that question about Klay Thompson being in the starting lineup, I think it might mean that this is something, at least in the short term, he's going to stick with. Let's hear just that one part again. Here was Kerr asked about starting Klay Thompson tonight.
I just felt like you had a little more spacing on the floor to start the game. You know, it's not doesn't necessarily mean, you know, it's permanent. It just felt like tonight that was important.
Doesn't necessarily mean that it's permanent, but it also doesn't necessarily mean that it's just a one-night thing. So we will see. Klay Thompson, maybe he starts tomorrow. It's going to be something to keep an eye on moving forward, that's for sure, especially if he does start tomorrow. We're going to see if it's something that the Warriors move forward with. I would just, you know, caution the Warriors, not that and this might seem like a shot at Klay. I don't mean it that way at all. It took Klay a long time to kind of emotionally accept that he was coming off the bench. And, I mean, we saw it on his face even before Steve Kerr asked him to come off the bench. Every time he'd have a poor shooting night, you could see him pressing and you could see his frustration. Not just see it, but you could feel it, right? And then when he finally accepted coming off the bench, well, first of all, he didn't accept it immediately, at least not outwardly. Maybe his conversations with Steve Kerr were perfectly fine. And in fact, you know what? I'm sure they were. But you could still see and sense and feel that frustration when he was coming off the bench. And, you know, maybe the Warriors and Steve Kerr understand what's at risk or whatever you want to call it and say, you know what, Klay, you give us something in the starting lineup that Podziemski can't, and it's worth, you know, whatever kind of emotional effect it's going to have on you, any sort of difficulty it might have on you. Because then what if Klay gets used to starting again, and then who knows, next year you re-sign him and he comes off the bench. I don't know. I'm just saying, considering how it went the first time when he was delegated to a bench role, I'm not sure if that's something you want to be too eager to jump right back into. But if your team needs it to help you win basketball games now, then all right, do it, and we'll deal with everything else when we get there. But you might also be opening up a little bit of a can of worms moving forward if you do that. But again, if it helps you win basketball games right now, then I don't know what other choice that you have. So ultimately, it comes down to how Steve Kerr feels that starting group with the addition of Klay Thompson works. If it works better than the starting group with Brandon Podziemski. I'll say one thing. It certainly helps with your shooting. It certainly helps with your defense. But maybe you hurt in terms of ability to play, make, and create. Maybe you hurt rebounding-wise because Podziemski, while shorter than Klay, is certainly a better rebounder at this stage. But maybe if you get Klay that catches fire shooting the ball, it's going to be the difference between being the 9, the 10, or out of the play-in entirely. We will see. Only time will tell on that. All right. Let's go to the phones here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Randy with you. Up next is Rich in Fremont. Rich wants to react to this win and talk about the rest of the year as well. What's up, Rich? You're on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Mr. Grand Man. That's what I call you now. I've been listening to you for a little while now, and I will say this much. Mr. Grandy, you are very astute in your information regarding the Warriors, and so when they have you isolated, you know, by yourself, I think, wow, okay, this is an opportunity to talk and to go over the particulars of Golden State. So thank you for taking my call.
I appreciate that, Rich. Thank you. It means a lot.
Yeah, so this is the situation. I don't think that, you know, where Klay is a problem for Klay anymore. You know, I think it might have in the beginning because he went like 15 seasons where he started. But the fact that he was able to progress to a point where he accepted this role and he went in and still was able to be Klay. And when they positioned him back to a starting role, he still was able to be Klay. I think Klay's comfortable regardless of what they do with him. And that is a plus for Golden State. It really is. Because what it says to Steve Kerr is, you know what? Klay's going to be professional regardless of whether he's starting or whether he's coming off the bench. And that is something that Golden State needs. But this is the thing. Tonight was a win they knew they had to get. They went in with their game plan. They executed, and they got the W. And yes, okay, it might have been a depleted team they played against, but that has nothing to do with anything. At the end of the day, the win is what's important, and that's what they got. And so, in my opinion, I feel like Clay being where he is, I don't think that's an issue anymore. And, Mark, I'm coming at you from a perspective in a position just like yours. I used to have a podcast called Game Face. So my Game Face podcast, I was alongside with a longtime color coordinator, former 49er, Mike Schumann. You may have heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I worked with Mike for a few years, and I will say this much. We had great fun. We did like you guys do at 95.7 Game. We talked sports. We even got to cover some great players. We had Ronnie Lott on. We had Lincoln Kennedy from the Raiders. We had all these great players stuff on. A lot of this stuff is found on YouTube, and I'm not trying to plug this, but what I am saying is that the one thing the reason why I listen to 95.7 The Game, other than other stations, is because you guys bring a fresh perspective. All three shows. I mean, I love Mark Willard and Dibbs, but Joe Shasky and Bonte, they do a fantastic job. So, but my personal thing that I think that the fact that they have Clay where they have him, that is a plus for Steve Kerr. It allows him to plug and play Clay where they need him to be. And that's a plus, especially now. So that's the way I see this situation. I do want to get your response on that. So, Mark, first of all, enjoy your insight and shout out 95.7 The Game.
I appreciate that, Rich. Yeah, thanks for all the kind words. And, yeah, sounds like you got a fun podcast going on there. I think you make a good point about Clay. I was thinking Clay accepted the bench role, but maybe you're right. Clay accepted whatever it is that Steve Kerr asks of him moving forward, and maybe the adjustment back to the starting lineup and then potentially, who knows, back to the bench is seamless for him. I think that's a real possibility that I had not considered. It's more of acceptance of whatever is asked of him, not acceptance of being a bench player now. And that would make some sense. And if Clay is in that headspace, then yeah, why not? There's nothing bad that can come of it as long as you feel like he gives you the best chance to win games now. We can talk a little bit more about that on the other side. Also, we do got to talk about Steph's minutes because I was scratching my head a little bit at the end of this basketball game. Maybe you know why. Maybe you don't. I'll explain. Either way, it's coming up on the other side as Warriors wrap-up continues. After the Warriors knock off the Heat in Miami, 113-92. It's Mark Randy with you. More Warriors wrap-up next on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Curry stops. Little jab step, waiting now. Pajemski comes over, screen set. Curry gets Mills as his defender. Dribbles left, squeezes between two defenders. Left hand, bang, shot, off hand, off glass, and good for Stephen Curry. 20-12, Warriors up by 8. Curry was 7.
Now back to Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Steph Curry had a couple of acrobatic moves and scores tonight. Did not have an incredible game offensively, just 17 points, which for him is well below average, 7 for 15 from the field. But the Warriors did not need him to carry a super heavy load. They got a lot from everyone else in the starting lineup, 28 from Klay Thompson, 18 from Jonathan Kuminga, 17 from Andrew Wiggins to go with Curry's 17. Draymond only scored 4, but had 9 rebounds and 8 assists. Off the bench, Moses Moody chipped in with 9. It was really nice to see Moses Moody hit a couple of threes. He was 2 for 2 from downtown. It felt like it had been a while since we'd seen Moses hit some threes. He made 2 of them, was 3 for 3 from the field, got a nice mid-range jumper to rim in. It bounced high off the front rim and then fell in. So good to see Moses hit a couple. Also a fun moment. Guy Santos went 2 for 2 in garbage time, including making a 3, and his parents from Brazil were in the arena, and they got to see him play. He made a couple of shots, including a 3, so that was fun. Pajemski scored 6 points. Kevon Looney had those 7, as we talked about early. So a lot of contributions from all over the roster for the Warriors in this one, as they beat the Miami Heat again tonight. Final score 113-92. The Warriors now 1-1 on this really important 5-game road trip. And while I think we felt like this Miami game was going to be more difficult than it ended up being, because we weren't really expecting all these Heat players to be out, but they were without Jimmy Butler tonight. They were without Tyler Hero tonight. Those two combined for just barely over 42 points per game. They were without Duncan Robinson tonight. He averages in double figures as well. Kevin Love, barely under double digits per game. He also did not play today. So while this win maybe was a little bit more expected or a little easier, a little less challenging than we previously thought, you can only play who's in front of you. And if you're the Warriors, maybe a week ago heading into this road trip, you tell me you're 1-1 after the first two, you would have taken it. I certainly would have taken it. Now, the way it played out might be a little bit more frustrating because you had a lead against Minnesota. You were up for like three quarters of that game, and then the T-Wolves owned the fourth quarter, and they closed you out. And then you beat a very beat-up, banged-up Miami team. So you're 1-1. Maybe you feel like you should be 2-0. But I think you would have taken a 1-1 start to this challenging five-game road trip if I offered it to you a week ago. Now you got an opportunity to beat Orlando tomorrow. That's going to be tough. Orlando's coming off of a handful of days of rest, and you're on a back-to-back, and they're waiting for you at home. You got to maybe hop on a bus. I don't know if you're busing to Orlando, not that far away. Florida is a very tall, long state. So maybe you do hop on a quick plane. No, they probably bus. I don't know. Regardless, you got to travel tonight to get to Orlando while Orlando has been waiting for you for a couple of days in the comfort of their own home. So it's going to be a challenge tomorrow for the Warriors. But you go 1-2 in these first three, then you take care of business against Charlotte and San Antonio. That's an over 500 road trip, and you'd certainly take that. And if the Warriors want to keep the Rockets at bay, they're going to need to do that, because right now, even with the win tonight for the Warriors, the Rockets are just a game behind you. You're 37-34. They are 36-35. The Bucks were of no help for you tonight. The Lakers, without LeBron, go into Milwaukee. An end-of-regulation comeback win. They force overtime. It goes to double overtime. And the Lakers, led by Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, and Anthony Davis, they beat the Bucks in Milwaukee. So with that win, the Lakers keep pace with the Warriors. They match the Warriors' win with one of their own, and they stay 2.5 games ahead of the Warriors for the 9 seed in the West. Now, important to note, the Warriors do have the Lakers on the schedule one more time moving forward, so the Warriors do have the ability to make up some ground quickly, but you're 2.5 back. You're going to need some help from the Lakers, and you are going to have to handle business the rest of the way if you are to catch them. It seems unlikely. It's not impossible, but it seems unlikely. More likely is the Warriors are the 10. That's the most likely scenario. The next most likely scenario is the Rockets catch you, you're out of the plan entirely, and then the third most likely scenario, or the least likely scenario, is you catch the Lakers and you're the 9 seed in the Western Conference. Okay, 888-957-9570, Mark Randy with you on Warriors wrap-up, reacting to this Warriors win over the Heat, 113-92. 888-957-9570 if you want to call in and join the conversation. That's also the Comcast Business text line, and I've got my eyes on the YouTube chat. As always, I was chopping it up with the guys on the YouTube chat during the commercial break a little bit ago. YouTube.com/957TheGame, powered, as always, by First NorCal Credit Union. Something we were talking about before the break, Klay Thompson and his potentially newfound deja vu starting role. Klay Thompson has been a starter basically his entire career. Post-trade deadline, his rookie year, when Monte Ellis was traded, he started, and he has been starting ever since, until earlier this season when he was moved from the starting lineup to the bench. And now he's back in the starting lineup. At least he was today. Maybe he is tomorrow. Here was what Steve Kerr said about that decision to put Klay Thompson back into the starting lineup tonight.
I just felt like you had a little more spacing on the floor to start the game. You know, it's not doesn't necessarily mean, you know, it's permanent. It just felt like tonight that was important.
So it doesn't necessarily mean it's permanent, but it was important tonight. We will see what that means tomorrow. Warriors play in Orlando against the Magic. Tip-off comes at 4 tomorrow. That means pregame coverage is at 3 here on 95.7 The Game with Willard and Dibbs. They'll have you covered for Warriors Live at 3. Maybe we get a lineup decision from Steve Kerr by then, so keep it locked to 95.7 The Game all day tomorrow for that. How does Klay feel, though? Here was Klay asked post-game about starting once again. Did that feel any different being inserted back into the starting lineup?
Not really. I just try to keep the same approach, have fun, communicate, get great looks, and those three things.
Okay, so Clay, I think that lends well to what Rich was telling us. Rich, on the phone line, 888-957-9570, was telling us it feels like Clay has adjusted not to just a bench role or to just a starting role. He has adjusted to whatever the Warriors and Steve Kerr ask of him, and that would seem to make sense. Steve Kerr or Clay Thompson saying, same approach for me, regardless. That's good news for the Warriors, and if that is truly the case, which it seems like it is, considering how he has played recently off the bench and considering how he played tonight, then that's a positive development for the Warriors moving forward, and I think that makes it more likely that we do see Clay continue in the starting lineup. The other half of this conversation, it isn't just that Clay is playing well, and he certainly has been, although his last two shooting games against... what was it, against the Grizzlies and then against Minnesota, didn't have the best offensive games Klay Thompson did. Or pardon me, not the Grizzlies, the Pacers. I'm thinking of the Pacers game and then Minnesota. Didn't have the best shooting game in either of those two. He was really good against the Grizzlies, but against the Pacers and the T-Wolves, he did struggle from the field a little bit. But sticking with the same approach and not getting too high or too low after every missed or made shot, and he bounced back and shot really well. So we'll see if he does continue to start for the Warriors. I think that response from Clay is pretty telling, that he does have a handle on the emotions of it all. And he certainly did not early. So I think we're seeing development from Clay Thompson in that regard as well. Something else that Steve Kerr talked about post-game tonight was Andrew Wiggins. We talk a lot about the impact that he has offensively. And he was aggressive specifically to begin the third quarter tonight. He had 8 points in the first 3 minutes of that third. Got the Warriors off to a good start in that third quarter. But Steve Kerr pointed to the other end of the floor and the effort and the work that he put in against Scary Terry Rozier, who had an okay night. Terry Rozier, not anything special. He had 15 points, 7 of 18 from the field. And it was Wiggins who was the primary defender. And Wiggins forced him into a volume night from the field. So if you get that kind of Wiggins, and I know that's a major if, and I feel like I have said that thing, if you get that from Andrew Wiggins consistently, this team takes an entirely different shape. But it was positive to see that from Wiggins tonight. And again, I'm going to say it, if you get that moving forward, this team is a whole lot better. I mean, there's no surprise that the Warriors' issues this season have coincided with an incredibly inconsistent Andrew Wiggins. He changes this team a ton, for better or for worse. If he plays well, if he plays locked in and he's focused and he's involved on both ends of the floor, this is a much better basketball team. But if he just kind of flows through the game and picks a spot here and there, this team does not connect nearly as much as they do when he does. So Andrew Wiggins is a huge key for this Warriors basketball team. Something else that stood out to me tonight, and I can't really make a lot of sense of it, and it was on my radar. If you were listening to Willard and Dibbs earlier today, if you were listening to Warriors wrap-up on Sunday, you know where I stand on this, Steph Curry's minutes. So Steve Kerr said post-game on Sunday that he wants to keep Steph around 30 minutes because they've been asking him to do a ton offensively. And I guess defensively a little bit, but mostly offensively. He's been carrying a really heavy load lately. So Steve Kerr wants to watch his minutes for the rest of the regular season because they want to, of course, protect their star. They want to make sure that he's fresh and when he is out there available to play at the best of his abilities. So he wanted to keep him around 30 minutes. But what happened on Sunday was in a really close game, the Warriors led by 3 going into the fourth. You don't start him to begin the fourth, and that... it makes total sense to me. And then the T-Wolves immediately go on a 12-5 run over the first 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, and you call a timeout. Suddenly, your four-point lead, or your three-point lead, turns into a four-point deficit. And you call a timeout, and you don't sub in Stephen Curry at that nine-minute mark. And up to that point, he had only played 23 minutes. So if he plays the nine to close the game, he's up to 32 minutes on the night. Does not come in at that 9-minute mark. The T-Wolves continue their run, and they outscore the Warriors 7-3 over the next couple of minutes, over the next 2 minutes to be exact, and now you're down by 8. Then you call a timeout, and then you bring Stephen Curry in. So the difference there was 2 minutes. That was a 2 minutes worth stretch of basketball where the Warriors lost 4 points in a game in which they lost by 4. That's a valuable 4 minutes, or 2 minutes. It's a valuable 4 points over 2 minutes without Stephen Curry. So I say all that to set up everything that the Warriors went through and decided to do to save Steph Curry 2 minutes of playing time. So we're coming from a position where 2 minutes of playing time is important. Okay? We want to keep Steph at 30 instead of 32. We're going to set him out for 2 extra minutes, and of course you did not know how those 2 minutes were going to go, but it ended up costing you 4 minutes. And I know I'm getting really into the weeds here, but just stick with me. Because then tonight, the Warriors get to a situation where through three quarters, Stephen Curry had played, let's see, oh, he had played 8 minutes, 6.5 minutes, and 9.5 minutes through the first three quarters. So the Warriors go to Steph Curry for they play him a total of 31 minutes and 5 seconds in this game. But they had an opportunity to take him out and save a couple of minutes. The Warriors are up by 18 points with 2 minutes and 52 seconds left in the fourth quarter. 2 minutes and 52 seconds left. They call a timeout, up by 18. I thought that timeout signified, hey, Steph, we're watching your minutes really closely now. We're going to take you out. Because we're up by 18, there's less than 3 minutes left. Let's save you these 3 minutes. Get you on the bench. Get you set up for Orlando tomorrow. You're up by 18. There's no way you can lose this lead in 2 minutes and 52 seconds. At that point, he had played 5 minutes and 45 seconds in the quarter, up to 29 minutes and 43 seconds in total. 8 seconds shy of the mark he played on Sunday, where those extra 2 minutes were so valuable that you wanted to keep him resting. Okay. The only sub, though, at that point, after that timeout, when you're up by 18 with sub 3 minutes left, the only sub was Chris Paul in for Jonathan Kuminga. And then you play another minute and 18 of game time. You get down to the 1 minute and 34 second mark, and you call another timeout. Now you're up by 16, and then you sub out Stephen Curry. So now he's playing an extra minute and 18 instead of playing in 29 minutes and 43 seconds of game time. He plays 31 minutes and 1 second. Again, I know it's just an extra minute and 18, and it really does not seem like it matters all that much. And if that's how you feel, then I would just ask you, then what the hell was up with Sunday? Because on Sunday, you're in a game where the result is in the balance, and you want to save 2 minutes so badly from Stephen Curry that you're willing to risk losing a lead or letting your lead slip away or letting your deficit grow even more when the game is far from over. Yet tonight, in a game where the game is over, you play Steph an extra 118 when you clearly did not have to. All I'm saying is it does not make any sense to me. The logic does not track. Now, maybe there was a conversation from Steph Curry to Steve Kerr and saying, hey, I can handle more, play me 32, whatever, I don't know. But that logic doesn't necessarily track to me, considering, yeah, maybe the minute 18 extra that he played at the end of this game is not the same kind of minutes. Like, it wasn't incredibly exhausting. It wasn't incredibly physical because the game was essentially over. But if you're going to tell me that 2 minutes is so valuable on Sunday when they were really important minutes and they're so valuable that you can't play them, I don't know how you can say the extra minute 18 he played tonight when he did not have to. You're up by 18 with under 3 to go. The game is over. Why not sub him out there? I don't know. I might be the only person thinking that, but I couldn't help but think it after what happened on Sunday. And it seemed like the opposite decision was made tonight. When he had already played essentially the same number of minutes and seconds he played on Sunday, despite the fact that the game was over tonight, and he played another minute 18. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I'm probably nitpicking big time, and I get that. But I wanted to bring it up because when I was writing down the minutes and the numbers that he played in this game, I assumed at that timeout with Let's see. With 2:52 left in the fourth quarter, that Steph was coming out. So I changed all my calculations. I said, all right, he's played 29 minutes and 43 seconds. And then he came back in. I had to readjust all my calculations. So maybe I'm just annoyed because I had to do extra math. But it did not make a lot of sense to me that Steph Curry played that extra minute 18 when we're so focused on saving every possible second for the 36-year-old Steph. As you should be. He shouldn't be playing unnecessary minutes. And I guess my larger point is that that minute 18 was very unnecessary because you were up by 18 points with under 3 minutes to go in regulation. I don't know. Anyway, it's a win. It's a good night for the Warriors, 113-92 over the Miami Heat. All right, back out to the phone lines before we do wrap things up here in just a minute. 888-957-9570. Up next is Robin in San Francisco. Robin, what's up? You're on Warriors Wrap Up by 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
I'm doing. Can you hear me, Sugar?
Yeah, I got you, Robin. What's up?
Okay. So I forgot what I called in for, listening to what you had to say. And all I can say about that time minute is Steph Curry, you know, he. What I can say about Kerr is that he's always done that, you know, Steph subbing in at a certain time in the fourth quarter. Ever since they started this championship run. And yes, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it should work. And he's being mindful of his minutes, and because there were two different situations. I think personally, what I think, and it's pure conjecture, that, you know, why wear your star out for a team that's really going nowhere? And I think most Warrior fans fail to realize that. When they win, it's all, yeah, we're great, Kuminga's this and Kuminga's that and blah, 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 and we're going to win, we're going to make it in, and then we can win. I mean, what are you looking at here, okay? You're looking at a 500 team, and then when we lose, it's Kerr's fault. He should have did this, he did that. And, you know, quite frankly, he's made some mistakes. He's some that he has admitted to. But I do think that he has done a good job getting them above 500 with what he has out there. Steph, Clay, and Dre are no longer the stars that you can just put talent around and expect them to win, especially low-level stars. I mean, before they had, you know, you had Iguodala, you had Sean Livingston, you had Spinks. I mean, you had seasoned vets around them. You don't have that anymore. And yet this fan base continues to look at them, and when they don't win, they blame Steve Kerr, and which I think is very lazy thinking, okay? Look at that starting lineup. They're not good, okay? And then the bench has really kept them in a lot of games when you moved Clay there. And what I don't understand is you're really not going anywhere. Why would you take the one thing that was working and switch it back to what was not working, okay? I don't get that, because you have to do two things: remain competitive and not fold, but also develop what you have so that you can move them later. Peace out and have a great weekend, baby.
Yeah, thanks, Robin. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, I guess I get where you're coming from. Clay has had some individual success coming off the bench, but I'm not so sure I would say the team is having success while he's coming off the bench. Now, they did put some wins together during the beginning part of him coming off the bench, but lately, I mean, it's been pretty bad. And while individual success is important, I mean, it pales in comparison to team success. And if the team is not winning with that plan, with that strategy, maybe you do got to change things up. I do get where you're coming from, though, Robin, and I appreciate the call, and I get your point. All right, 888-957-9570, a couple of minutes left. Up next is Doug in Albany. We'll have to talk about Steph and his minutes as well. Doug, what's up? You're on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
Hey, Mark, I'm doing well. I'm doing well, just driving home. I want to amplify or agree with your comments, because what Steve Kerr said the other day and what he did tonight don't make any sense. And I think that Steve Kerr is lost. I think that he is lost. He just, this season has befuddled him. I mean, we can't knock his record. We can't criticize him too much. But he's made some moves that don't make any sense. He didn't play Looney at all against Minnesota. And Gobert had his way on second chance points. What was he thinking? What was he not thinking? He just doesn't know what to do because of factors, some of which are out of his control, but he has not helped the team get out of this funk that it's been in all season and which has been amplified recently. And what he said the other day and what he did tonight don't make sense. And to me, they highlight and illustrate the fact that he doesn't know what to do. He's lost. He's stuck with the small ball lineup. The small ball lineup is not the lineup that's going to win in the league today. Certainly not going to compete with the big guys. Draymond has basically said 10 years he's been banging with these guys who are, you know, 50 pounds heavier and 5 inches taller than him. And he's been asked to do everything, you know, bringing the ball up to, you know, playing center to, you know, I could go on and on. Some of his on-court antics are notwithstanding. So that's what I think is going on. I think Steve Kerr is, you know, doesn't really know what to do. And since he doesn't know what to do exactly, the outlook looks less than rosy for the Warriors this season, for the rest of the season. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it. I do feel your confusion when it comes to Steph's minutes tonight versus Sunday, and I know it's only a minute 18 extra what we're talking about, where he could have taken him out after that first timeout instead of after the second timeout. But the point is, when you make the case that 2 minutes are so valuable in a close game, I don't get how a minute 18 cannot also be valuable in a game that is already decided. Now, from a larger scale, I do think there's a ton of truth to the fact that Steve Kerr has been dealt a relatively poor hand this year, and he's trying to do the best with it. He's trying to bluff his way to a big pot win, but no one else is buying it. He's got a bad hand. He's got bad cards, and people are calling him on it, and there's nothing else he can really do. Now, specifically, the Sunday decision and comments post-game about Steph's minutes, and then tonight, they don't really add up to me. But from a larger perspective, I don't know how much more Steve Kerr can really do. At a certain point, it's just on the players to play better basketball. And tonight, they played better basketball against a team playing without their two best scorers and three double-digit scorers. So that is a major factor here. But the Warriors, as a team, played better tonight. And it's a big reason why they won. It's not because Steve Kerr coached a hell of a basketball game. It's because the Warriors played better their players did than the Heat players did. Sometimes it's just as simple as that. And I think that was the case tonight. All right, final minute or so here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. We got to get to our hardest worker of the game, which is brought to you by the Alameda County Sheriff's Office, who works hard to serve the community. Are you looking for a career in law enforcement? Learn more about job opportunities at joinacso.com. And this is a pretty easy choice for me tonight. Klay Thompson back into the starting lineup, and he goes off. 28 points, 11 of 20 shooting, 6 of 14 from downtown. Also had 5 rebounds, only turned the ball over once, and he was a game-high plus 25 in his 30 minutes and 58 seconds. He is our hardest worker of the game, again brought to you by the Alameda County Sheriff's Office. Okay, so the Warriors win tonight 113-92 over the Miami Heat. With the win, the Warriors are now 37-34. They're in Orlando tomorrow, 4 o'clock tip, 3 o'clock pregame coverage here on 95.7 The Game. With the Warriors win, with the Lakers win, the Warriors are still 2.5 back of the Lakers for the 9. With the win, though, the Warriors now a full game ahead of the Rockets for the 10. The Rockets also in action tomorrow. They are on the road in OKC, so a very, very tough matchup for the Houston Rockets. Coming up tomorrow on the road in OKC, a team that is 50-21, only a half game behind the defending champs, the Denver Nuggets, for first place in the Western Conference. Houston and OKC tomorrow, Warriors in Orlando tomorrow. A couple of important games, of course, for the Warriors' postseason hopes. All right, that'll do it for Warriors Wrap-Up tonight here on 95.7 The Game. Thanks to everyone for tuning in all night long. Thanks to the YouTubers for engaging in the chat all night long as well. For Chris O'Connell, for Sterling Bennett behind the glass, my name is Mark Granny. Signing off, the Warriors beat the Heat 113-92, now 1-1 on this five-game road trip. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks so much for tuning in, and have a great rest of your night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.